to show forth all the wisdom and glory that's found in just a few lines of God's Word. Or as another scripture says about a cluster of grapes, there's still a blessing in it. You can still keep getting the blessing out of it. If I had one book on a desert island, of course it'd be the Bible. But if I had one book in the Bible, I believe it'd be the Gospel of John. And the New Testament, the Old Testament, it might be what? Psalms or Isaiah 1. Isaiah, Gospel of John, powerful, wonderful, marvelous story. Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 37 and 38. Two disciples heard him speak. This was one of them was Andrew. Verse 40 says it was Andrew. We don't know who the other one was, but most believe it was John who wrote this book. And that's fitting. John never told his name. He didn't want anybody to know his name. And that would be fitting, wouldn't it? I believe it was John. Two disciples heard John the Baptist preach, and they followed our Lord. And the Lord turned, verse 38, and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, or Master, where dwellest thou? Where dwellest thou? Two disciples heard him speak, and they heard John preach, a preacher preach, and they started following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's because John preached Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ stopped when they called upon him. And they said, Master. And he said, What seek ye? And the Lord said, Come and see. The Lord of glory will stop for every seeking sinner. Every single sinner that seeks Him, He will stop for them. Every single guilty sinner, like that woman, that adulteress, He will stoop. He will stoop to them and say, Thy sins be forgiven thee. They said, Master, we want to go. We want to see You. We want to be with You. We want to just dwell with You. We want to hear You speak. We want to follow You. We want You to be our teacher. We want You to be our shepherd. We want You to be our Lord, our Master, our everything. We want to follow You. And He said, Well, come on. Gladly received them. And now Andrew and maybe John, whoever it was, heard John the Baptist preached the day before. John preached in verse 29, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He preached Christ and Him crucified. He preached Christ the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb of God. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Every man must have a lamb. He preached Christ the Lamb of God, the only way to God. The only salvation of God. He preached Christ. Well, Andrew and John didn't start following Christ when they heard Him preach the first time. Behold the Lamb. Right? All right. But it says down in verse 36, John preached, Behold the Lamb of God. Well, they heard Him this time. They heard Him this time. And they started following Christ. You see what I'm trying to say? That we preach Christ. We keep preaching Christ. We have but one message. I know what Gabe's preaching this morning. I know what Marvin's preaching this morning. I know what Greg's preaching, what Todd's preaching. I know what they're all preaching. You know what they're preaching. Any man sent from God, I know what Walter's preaching. Or Joe. I know whoever is sent by God, like John, a man sent from God, whoever God sent, he preaches one thing, Christ and Him crucified. I know that. That's the message. That's what God, that's what this book's all about. Who? That's what God tells us to do. That's the message that sinners need to hear. That's the message God blesses. That's salvation. That's life. I know what true preachers are preaching this morning. Or rather, who? But people don't always hear the first time. So we keep preaching. Do we change our message? Well, they didn't hear that, so we'll try something else. No. 1,000 times no. We keep preaching the same message. John, the very next day, took the same text, Exodus 12, and preached the Lamb of God. Well, Andrew heard it then. He finally heard. See, this gives me hope for some. Maybe today is the day for somebody. We'll preach the same message. This gives me hope and tells me that I'm to preach the same thing. As Paul said, to write the same things to you is not, to me is not grievous, but for you it's safe, it's salvation. So we preach Christ, behold the Lamb, Christ crucified. We preach the cross. The next message this morning is on the cross, the cross, the cross. And we keep preaching until somebody hears it, until somebody follows Christ. Our Lord said, my Lord said, my sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me. What's His voice? It's the gospel. Preaching the gospel. Well, our Lord said, come and see. Come and see. When they asked where He dwelt, come and see. He bid them come. So I'm going over these same verses because there's still a blessing here. But the half wasn't told. We didn't hear it. You probably have already forgotten it by now. That's just the way we are. We're just so poor vessels. The Lord bid them come, merciful and gracious and loving and acceptant, bidding them come. Come. It's amazing that the Lord came to this earth, and it's amazing that He'll receive sinners. It's amazing. It's a faithful saying. Come, He said, and we'll see Him. Look at verse 51. He said to Nathanael, who came, He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open. Oh my, I might deal with this by itself on Wednesday. This needs a whole message by itself. When you come to see Jesus Christ, heaven's going to open up. He said, you're going to see from here on the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. All the blessings of God. Everything comes down from God through Christ. He's Jacob's ladder. All things. Oh, you come, you seek the Lord like Andrew and John. You seek the Lord. If it's Him you seek, you will find Him. And what you will find is glory. And the Lord, it was immediate. All who seek, find. That tells me that those who claim they're seeking and don't find are not really seeking. Not seeking Him. He said, if you seek me, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. You'll find Him. True seeker. One time, I told you this, some of you, I had a horse that was pregnant and I just spread hay all over her stall. It's sawdust on the floor, but I spread hay all over that stall for her to lie down in when she had that baby. Well, I was in there working, hammering, and I dropped a nail down in that straw. A needle in a haystack. And I thought, I gotta find that nail. I found it. I didn't give up. I'm not leaving this stall till I find this nail. Seek, He said, you will find. Ask, you receive. Knock, shall be open. The Lord said, come and see. And they came and they saw. And it was immediate. And they counted the cost. Listen to this. When they came, what did they see? First thing they saw was where He dwelled. Where did the Lord dwell? He didn't have a home. He didn't have a place to lay His head. He lived under the stars. He lived in the Mount of Olives. He lived wherever He was at the time. What they did was they came and they saw that there's no material or earthly advantage to come into Christ. In fact, you're going to lose some things. They left comfortable homes and comfort and all that security, they thought, for eternal security. They left all that stuff to follow Him. They didn't lose a thing. Our Lord said, you have to count the cost. come to me. You're going to lose some advantages. You're going to lose some friends. You're going to lose some worldly things. But that's nothing. It's all vanity. Christ is all. Our Lord had only food and raiment. They learned quickly, didn't they? You know?
We thought we needed all that other stuff. He's a whole lot happier than we are. He knows something we don't know.
They came, they saw. They came, they saw Him as all and in all they needed, all they wanted, and they were content. They dwelled with Him. And John wrote, we look back there, it says, of His fullness have all we received. They left everything. They left all that stuff. They might have had houses full of stuff, like we do, don't we? We got attics and garages. We got so much stuff. Oh, they left all that stuff. They emptied, became empty. But
oh, did they become full. They had never been so full of joy. They had never been so full of peace. They had never been so happy. They had never, all their lives. For 3.5 years, the apostles followed Him everywhere. Didn't have a house, didn't work a job, didn't have a worry in the world.
Didn't have an enemy to worry about. Satan couldn't touch them. The happiest years of their life. 3.5 years, and they didn't have nothing but Jesus Christ. And they were so happy. What does that tell us? We got a lot to learn, though. Great treasure is usually trouble there with it. Oh, better is fear, little with the fear of the Lord to be with Him. Can we have many things and be full of Christ? Can we have many things and be full of Christ? It's hard. How hardly, our Lord said, how hardly shall they that have riches? Why? Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. It's just the way we are. But it's possible. It's possible. There's exceptions. It's not the rule. Abraham was rich in lands and things. He dwelt in a tent. Joseph was rich. Dwelt in a palace. David was rich. But here's the thing. If you can have things and things not have you. Well, how do you know? How do you know when these things have you? Well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart. You won't find Abraham. You look through all the story of Abraham. You won't find him talking about his tents. You won't find him talking about his cattle. You won't find him conversing with people and talking to them how they need to invest their... You won't find him talking about this world. You find him talking about his Lord. He was full of things, but it meant nothing to him. It was just... His conversation was in heaven. That's how you know. So, you know, David was not a richer man on earth than King David. David the king was. But you know what he said? He said, I'm poor and needy. Do you know the responsibilities David had as king? No, you don't. I don't either. But it was every day, every hour. Millions of people pulling at him. Great responsibilities. How did he find time to write all those songs? That's where his heart was. That's where his heart went. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, we have so much stuff. Forgive us. Help us not to be taken by these things, but rather to be taken with Thee. Well, look at verse 40 and 41. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we found the Messiah, which has been interpreted Christ. We found Christ. Andrew, he finds his own brother, being found of Christ. Now who found who? Sinners are lost. The Christ's sheep. And he said, he goes after his lost sheep and when he finds them. He's the one that finds them, right? That's the fact. They all know that. But what it is Andrew is so excited upon hearing the truth, upon hearing Christ, upon seeing His glory, that he ran home to tell his family, "We found the Christ." You can't help but speak the things you've seen and heard. You can't help but speak things you're excited about and zealous about and enthused about. You can't help it. Whatever you see, wherever you go, if you go see some concert, or you go to some ball game and it's a great one, and you go to wherever you go, you'll come home telling people, "Oh, you should have seen that. You should have seen that." If you really see Christ, if you really see His glory, if you really hear His voice, if He really meets with you, if He really speaks to your heart, you've got to tell somebody. It's going to be what comes out of your mouth after that message. Oh, wasn't that wonderful? Isn't He wonderful? He ran home and told his brother. And I have a hard time believing that somebody really has found Christ, or rather, been found of Him, that doesn't tell those around him or her. He had to. Our Lord said that when He said, was it the leper? I think it was a leper. He said, "Go home and tell what great things the Lord has done for you." Boy, he did. "Look at you, leper." That's his name. "Look at you. You're a new man." "Yeah, Christ did that." Christ didn't. The woman at the well. Huh? What'd she do? Ran, told her, "Come see a man." Andrew's excited. He's zealous. He's been found by the Lord. He's been called. The Lord bid him come. He's seen Christ's glory, some of it. And he has to tell his brother, "We found the Christ." In verse 42, "And he brought him to Jesus," Simon Peter, to cry. Now, the Lord uses means. The Lord uses means. He doesn't have to, but He does. It's not the means that saves. It's not the means that saves. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 1 this morning. "Please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Does preaching save people? No. Christ saved. Does the preacher save people? No. Christ saves. So, but He uses means. We're not to despise the means. We're not to despise the means at all. The Lord uses these means, and so do we. He tells us to use these means. He tells us to go tell people. He tells us to go witness. Now, you're not going to save anybody. You're not going to convince anybody of anything. How many times? 99.9% of the people I ask to come hear the gospel don't come. Isn't it so with you? You can't, and I've talked to people, I'm blue in the face, haven't you? Just talk, it does no good. That's right. What it's going to take is then for them to come, sit, the Lord bring them to come and hear His Word preached. This is what God is pleased to use. He uses people to bring people to hear the gospel. But He uses the preaching of the gospel to save their soul. And it's not the man, it's not the message, it's not His might, it's not His power, it's the Spirit of God in God's good time, if He's pleased. They come, might be for their condemnation. It might be for their salvation. But if they're saved, it's going to be the Spirit of God through the preaching of the gospel, not the man, not the witness, not the bringer, but the Lord. He gets the glory. No flesh is no glory. But He said, "Bring them." Didn't He say, "Go out in the highways and the hedges and you bid them come." Bid them come. Come. What? Do what? See a man. Come and see who I've seen. We not only preach Christ, but we witness Christ, don't we? We don't say, "Come to my church. Come see the choir." Some of us were eating at Ruth's place one Sunday afternoon. And we were sitting there, and a well-known woman in this community, a realtor, most everyone in here knows, came up to the table. She knows my wife, knows several of you. And she began saying,
Oh, you should have heard this morning the Ferrum Collegians. I think that was their name. It's a choir from Ferrum College. You should have heard what we heard. The Ferrum Collegians came and sang for us. That's a Methodist place on top of the hill. That's all they heard, Mike. That's it. They didn't hear nothing. Empty. They may have been went away full of wonder and marvel and a good feeling over the music they heard and all that, but they didn't hear Christ's voice. They didn't hear the gospel. And they went away lost. But can you not say, every time you come here, you're going to hear Christ's praise. Every time you come here. And it's what you tell people. You go tell them, come hear the gospel. Come hear the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. Come hear God's word preached. Come hear the truth proclaimed. If you're looking for the truth, this is what I tell people all the time. Just told a fellow the other day. If it's the truth you're looking for, you'll hear it. If it's God's word, what God's word says about Himself, about Christ, about sinners, about salvation, about how to get to glory, if that's what you're looking for, you come, that's what you're going to hear. Nothing else. That's the one thing needful, isn't it? Dying men to dying men. Well, He brought Simon Peter to Christ. The Lord used that to him for Simon Peter to come. Where was Christ? Well, He was where His people were. When you bring people to Christ, what you're doing is bringing them where He is found. He's in the church. People say, I don't have to go to church to be saved. Yes, you do. Yeah, you do. Now, I'm not even going to explain that. Yeah, I am. But that's where Christ is. Always. Where two or three are gathered, that's where I am. I don't have to go to church to be saved. If you're going to meet Christ and hear His voice, you do. I don't have to hear preaching to be saved. Yes, you do. You're calling God a liar. And so you're not going to hear His voice. Forget it. Forget it. Go where He's found, where His voice is heard, where His gospel's preached. Humble yourselves. And yet, you know, we're commanded to go home and tell. Go in all the world, preach the gospel. Go home and tell what great thing. Be ready to give an answer. Seek and you'll find. Bid them come and see a man. Simon heard, verse 42. Simon beheld him, and the Lord said, Thou art Simon, son of Jonah. First thing the Lord said to Simon Peter was, You're Simon, the son of Jonas. Same name as Jonas in the Old Testament. You're Simon, not Peter. He didn't start out Peter. It's rock. He didn't start out as a rock. He started out as a nobody and a nothing. A typical sinner. Just a simple sinner. Son of Adam. Son of Jonas. Who was Jonas? A running scared fellow, wasn't he? Jonas. Simon. You're Simon. Son of Jonas. That's what you are. I'm going to change all that. You're going to be called Cephas. Rock. Which is by interpretation stone. Peter. You'll be called Cephas. A little rock. Not big rock. Little rock. And what he's saying is, I'm the rock. I'm the chief cornerstone. I'm the sure foundation. I'm the one the Lord has laid. I'm the chief cornerstone. But you're going to be so united to me. You're going to be found in me. You're going to be a rock too. Living stone. I'm the rock. But you're a rock too. And the church's not going to rest on you. Oh no. You're going to rest on the rock. The church is going to rest on the rock that you're preaching. That's what the Lord said, Simon Peter. Now, if there's some confusion for you, we started a few minutes early. Y'all were, you know, lollygagging, so I get a few minutes extra. If there's some confusion on your part, on our part, as to Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account of Simon, Peter, and Andrew being called on the boats, let me explain that, okay? After our Lord was baptized of John, we just looked at that.
after he was baptized,
he left for 40 days. He was tempted by Satan, remember? 40 days and 40 nights.
Well, Andrew and John heard him preach at his right there. Okay? They heard him preach. Then the Lord left. And so they went back fishing. They went back to their boats. The Lord hadn't called them to preach yet. He hadn't called them out of the boats yet. So after 40 days were passed, our Lord came by the Sea of Galilee, and then he said, Andrew, or Simon, Peter. Peter, Simon, Andrew, follow me. John, James, follow me. That's when they left it all. And their father and their boats and their nets, and followed Christ forever. That's it. Look at verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. You see who's doing the finding? He found Philip and said unto him, follow me. Then ask him. The Lord of glory doesn't ask anybody to accept him. And any preacher that says that's a false preacher. It's a false gospel that has God asking men anything. It's the true gospel that has God telling men what to do. Giving commandment to save them. Like David, the son of David, says of every single one he has mercy on. Like Mephibosheth says, go fetch them. What if they won't come? Are you kidding? I'm David. I'm the most powerful king on earth. And he's a cripple. An enemy. If I say, go get him, he's coming. And that's all of us. We can't walk by faith. We can't come. We're dead. Spiritually crippled. We can't come. How are we going to come? When the Lord of glory says, fetch him. And he sends his strong man, Spirit of God, to pick him up and carry him all the way here. And we remain that way. But we're under his table, kept by the power of God. Verse 43, to go fetch him. He said, follow me. Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Bethsaida wasn't a fancy place. It means fishing house. Bethsaida means fishing house. It was a fishing village. Mostly fishermen from there. Okay, they weren't fancy people. Can anything good come out of Bethsaida? That's what they would have said. All these disciples, most of them were from there. Bethsaida, our Lord said, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, didn't he? He just called a few out of there. As you know, is Rocky Mount a fancy place? Some of you from Rocky Mount, aren't you? And the Lord called you out of this place, but not very many. Aren't you blessed? Oh, how blessed you are. This place is nothing. It's nothing. Bethsaida. Fishing house. Little pile of rocks. But the Lord has a people here. That makes it special, doesn't it? Bethsaida. Philip finds Nathanael. See that? He went looking for his friend Nathanael. Apparently they were buddies. And he said unto him, we found him. Who? Of him who Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. Son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, verse 46, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now listen to what Philip said. Come and see. Come and see. You know good and well, people go by this place and it's not very fancy. And they say, ain't nothing to that. And when you talk to them, where do you go to church? You tell them Central Grace, Central Baptist. And, oh, that's that place up on the hill there, isn't it? And how many do you have? First thing, how many? Oh, not many, but I tell you what. Come and see. Come and see. When my wife was 9 years old, this is true story. 9 years old. The Lord began to work on her at an early age. And she had lots of friends in high places. Her father and mother were well known all over the community. And went to the country club and doctors and lawyers. And so their daughters were her friends and people, girls on the, popular girls on the cheering squad. Well, the Lord revealed Himself to her parents and they brought her as a young girl and 9 years old, and the Lord began to create an interest in her. And she'd go back to school, and somebody asked her, one of her snooty little catty little popular girls, you know, friend would say, and she went to the so-called Christian church in town where everybody, somebody, you know, and she would ask Benny, said, "Where do you go?" And she said, 13th Street Baptist. He said, "Well, who goes there?" Well, who goes there? And you know what her answer was as a 9-year-old girl? "Me and my pastor, and he tells me about the Lord Jesus Christ." That's a pretty good answer. And who goes there? "Well, me and my preacher. And he preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and see. You'll see. And there's no place you'd rather be. If he shows you his glory, if you hear his voice like I heard, there's no place you'd rather be. Nope. Oh, my. The Lord saw Nathanael. And I think rather we're going to look at these verses Wednesday night. Verse 47, "He saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, 'Behold, an Israelite indeed.'" You ever thought about that? "Behold, a true Israelite. No guile." I've always been amazed by that statement. Haven't you? Well, maybe we'll look at that Wednesday night. Okay.